Today, let's jump right into Scripture. We're going to turn to John 11. Actually, first a bit of a background. Jesus' good friend, and Scripture seems to make this clear, Jesus' good friend Lazarus dies while Jesus is away. Jesus gets the news and stays away 2 more days. At that point, there is no question. Lazarus is dead. Fully, truly dead. We're going to start reading at the point when Jesus arrives, where people are mourning Lazarus' death. Starting at John chapter 11, verse 17, and we're going to continue right through 38. So John 11, 17, so I'll turn there. And as you read this and listen, I want you to think about how the crowd is reacting and then how Jesus reacts to the crowd. How the crowd is reacting and then how Jesus reacts to the crowd. Starting with verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." So first of all, by the way, we think of Peter's words sometimes, where he says he's the Christ, and Jesus says, "This didn't come from you, it came from God." Think about the words right here from Martha. Straight up, she knows. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and calling for you." So notice it doesn't say that he actually asked her, but in Scripture, but he did. He sent. Jesus wanted to talk to her. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit, and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Let me ask you some questions. Did Jesus know he was going to bring Lazarus back to life? Did he know he was going to do that? Yes. For those on the internet, everybody's shaking their head yes. Did Jesus try to tell Martha he was going to bring Lazarus back to life? Yes. Can't be sure if she got it or not, But it doesn't appear to me she did, but he tried to tell her that. What was Jesus' reaction to Martha, to Mary, and to the mourners' ignorance? The fact that they did not know. What was his reaction to their ignorance about what he was going to do? He wept. Thank you. I'm glad we've got somebody else who's willing to participate.
I was going to say cried.
He cried. It's the same thing. It says, he was deeply moved. He wept. Jesus wept. So please keep that in mind as we quickly talk about this week's election. This past Tuesday, the world was stunned. They were stunned. Use that word on purpose. If you don't believe me, just go look across the world. Go to the Drudge Report or wherever you like going, CNN. They were stunned. Stunned when Americans elected Donald J. Trump as the next president of the United States. And at 1:30 in the morning, I wrote this on Facebook. Time for bed. I know for many, this is not the outcome you wanted. To some, it is horrifying. I believe Trump truly cares about our country and everyone in it, including you. Words are just words, but his acceptance speech supports my view. When he gets into office, I will stand beside you to make sure he is everyone's president. Trust but verify, as a great previous president said. Let's pray for Donald Trump and our nation. Let's pray for each other. The Lord's grace and peace to you. Love to all. Night. Back in New Hampshire, I have a friend with an African-American daughter who is convinced that Trump only likes whites and is afraid for her black daughter. I have a Twitter friend who worries that a Trump presidency will mean that his two-year-old will lose his very expensive autism treatment, $2,000 per week. I have a physician friend who immigrated from a totalitarian country and is fearful that Trump will be an equivalent authoritarian. Personally, I believe they're all wrong. About Trump and what he will do. I think they're wrong. I think they are very wrong. Jesus knew that Martha was wrong. Very wrong. Jesus knew that Mary was wrong. Very wrong. Jesus knew all the mourners were wrong. Very wrong. Yet what? You said it earlier. What did Jesus do? He cried. Yet Jesus was deeply moved. Jesus wept. Back in 2008, you were alive then, I think, weren't you? There you go. You weren't very old, though. Back in 2008, hey, come on, Jeffrey. Back in 2008, when Lily was very young, a toddler. Brandon Heath. Anybody ever hear of Brandon Heath? It's okay if not. I listen to a lot of different music. He released a song called Give Me Your Eyes. Can you imagine whose eyes he's talking about? Jesus, right? In the chorus, its chorus goes like this. All those people going somewhere. And this meant a lot to me because back then I traveled a lot. So it starts off like in an airport. And seeing people, all those people going somewhere, why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. In our divided country, in our divided world, under attack, real or perceived, from our opponents, it is hard to have Jesus' eyes. Yet, if we allow the Holy Spirit to give us his divine sight, our reaction to the genuine, I'll repeat that, genuine fears of our many opponents should not make us laugh, should not make us gloat, should not make us smug. The genuine fears of our many opponents should move us deeply, should make us weep. And by the way, I don't assume everybody here is a Trump supporter. All this still holds. It goes both directions, right? You may not understand why anyone, if you weren't a Trump supporter, why anyone would vote for Trump, the racist, misogynistic, homophobic, Mexican-hating real estate businessman. But you know what? Demonizing one's opponents is the devil's tool, not the Lord's. And Trump voters also have genuine fears, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Fears that, if you have the eyes of Jesus, if you have the eyes of Jesus, should move you deeply, should make you weep. Before we wrap up, let's head back to the Bible. First, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 48. I'm not going to do a whole bunch of commentary. I think both of these stand alone pretty well. Matthew 5, 43 through 48. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Second, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we are going to read the whole chapter. It's not way long, don't worry. It's not way long. And I would say, I haven't done it, but if there were any chapter in Scripture to memorize, this would be a good chapter to memorize. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Are we there? If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Also, before I went to bed early Wednesday morning, I tweeted some other advice. Now, Twitter limits you to 140 characters, so please take that into account. Whether your side won or lost, stay classy. Don't gloat. Don't be sore losers. Give Trump a chance. Give Clinton a break. Love. And that is my advice for you today. Especially that very last one-word sentence. Love. Whether you are happy with the outcome of the election this week or not, pray for Jesus' eyes. But most of all, love.